stand for Pledge of Allegiance.
And the flag is right over there.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Janine, if we could have roll call, please?
Sure. Commissioner DeCosmaker?
Here.
Commissioner Ogren?
Present.
Commissioner Harkness?
Here.
And Chair Baird?
Here.
Thank you.
Dr. Seuss. Okay. All right, did everyone have a chance to review the minutes from the last meeting, which was May 12th, 2020?
We may not have a quorum for this, because we only have two people, I believe, who were here at that last meeting.
So, all right, we'll table that one, move on to item four. Is there anyone here that would like to speak regarding an item that is not on the agenda?
I don't know what's on the agenda, but I wanted to talk to the lab co-committee about.
I'm sorry?
Grenade Irrigation District.
Okay, you can go ahead and, that is not on the agenda, so now would be the time to go ahead and speak on that item. I believe that we have a 3-minute limit.
Says 5 in the minutes.
Of 5, okay. Are you gonna, would you like to sit for your statement where you're at, or would you like to use the podium?
I'm anywhere where somebody can hear me.
Let's have you move a little bit closer if you don't mind, so that way they can hear you on the meeting.
Sir, can I just go ahead and stand there, but I need to get your name for the record.
Chapter Short.
Short?
Sharp.
Sharp. Sharp. And what's your address?
7843 Siskiyou Boulevard.
And that's Grenada?
Grenada.
Thank you.
Hey, Rick.
Thank you very much.
Well, I've been in the Grenada Irrigation District for 50 years. And I understand that the board told me that they're going to try to get you to approve adding another 90 acres to the district on the southwest side of the district. And that property was put into the district back 15, 16 years ago. And they didn't have the water to irrigate it, and John Georgie then applied to take it out, and the LAFCO committee let him take it out. And I can't understand why they're trying to put it in when they don't have the water to irrigate what's in the district. And I'm against it, and they don't let the public know. They property owners don't know what's going on at all. And they told me that the reason for getting it in the district was because the fella would pay for it. He'd make the payments on the property, on the irrigation. But there's no reason to let him in because he'll pay when the others aren't getting the water they're supposed to be getting. You know, there hasn't been a full irrigation season for several years. And this year is going to be worse yet, probably. But when there is water, they still cannot irrigate everybody with it set up the way it is. And I drilled wells, and I irrigate from wells since 1976 because the district could not provide the water. And since then, it's gotten a heck of a lot worse than it used to be. When I first went into the district, we got the water every 12 days. And there was no problem with it because we had the water. But they've cut down on the river and cut down on the rivers of where I was on the board for 12 years. I was chairman of the board for quite a while, but water resources used to say that if we had 10 second feet going under the Montague Grenada Road there at the bridge, they've got a weir there where they measure it, and if there's 10 second feet going through there, well then Grenada could irrigate as long as they stayed 10 second feet there. Well now, they've raised it to 20 second feet. So Grenada is the last one on the list, and 20 second feet, we're not gonna have any water when there's that much going on down the river. And I talked to Water Resources about it, and they said, well, it's been set up that way, and I guess Nature Conservancy bought out quite a bit of land, and they turned it back over now to Fish and Wildlife and Fish and Game, and their water's supposed to go on down the river. Nobody's supposed to be able to use it. Where before we always all was neighbors, and if somebody was irrigating and the water went back to the river, why, they'd tell everybody else go on the irrigate because the water was coming back into the river. But that doesn't happen anymore. So Grenada's just shut off. Maybe one, two irrigations, and you can't farm that way. And if he puts that 90 acres in, there's no way he's gonna get the water to irrigate it. And it'll be right back to the same thing as when John Georgie put it in. I talked to him for quite a while when he put it in about not putting it in. But John and I was good friends, and he said, well, I really want to do it. I'll pay the bill, and he paid the bill to have it put in and everything. And within 2 years, he said, boy, I wish I'd listened to you. And then he come to the LAFCO and paid to have it all taken out, because he could not get the water. And Grenada Irrigation District, I don't know how many of you know or any of you know, it's different from all other districts. We don't sell water. It's an assessment against your property. And if the irrigation is $150 an acre, it's a $150 assessment against your property. If you get water, that's just a surplus, that's just a plus. But as far as getting water, they never sold water ever, and it was never set up that way. But now they're starting to say, well, we're gonna sell each one irrigation and so on. And I don't see how they can do that when it's an assessment against your property. And the district is having financial problems, and that's one reason, because they've decided to let somebody irrigate 5 acres. So they pay $150 for 5 acres, and they run the water over that 5 acres if they get it. The other 35 or 40 acres they own, they don't pay for. Where it was always an assessment when you said you was going to irrigate, well then, that was an assessment against every acre on your property.
Thank you. And your time is almost up, if you can make a closing statement.
I couldn't hear you, I'm sorry.
Your time is almost up, if you can make a closing statement.
Okay. I'd just like to say that I am going to contact other landowners, and I don't want to see it go in. It's just going to be a hurt for the ones that's in the district. It's not going to be help to anybody in the district. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment.
Rachel, is there any way, the one avenue I see that we can help Mr. Sharp is to put him in contact with the Grenada Water District so they can communicate better? Is there a way we can do that?
We absolutely can. It sounds like he's already been in contact with them. And just so the commissioners know, Grenada Irrigation District has contacted me and sent me a draft application for annexation, but they have not supplied all the necessary documents as far as payment for the annexation itself. And also they need to finalize and sign the application that was sent to me. It was just an emailed rough draft that I was sent, and so we have not received anything formal from them.
Okay.
There was some discussion about where the boundaries actually were. It was what I spoke with them about, but they have not submitted anything to me for a formal annexation process.
Okay.
So it has not been submitted?
No. They need to actually submit the application and the fee, and then we can start the process of taking a look at if this annexation proposal is something that we want to, if something that, you know, we can approve or not here at this commissioner level.
Yeah, well, see, at our March meeting, they said it had all been submitted and all, and they had a place on the agenda for someone from LAFCO to talk on it.
No, unfortunately, we have not actually received an application and payment for the application fee. It was just a draft that I reviewed for them.
Okay. But I told them I was going to come in and protest it. I wanted to talk to you guys so you know
what's
going on in the district. And the board is 5 members, and they don't talk to any landowners.
So when this does get on the agenda, it will be publicly noticed in the newspaper. And if you're interested, I can also make a note to have a public hearing notice sent to you if you're interested.
Yes.
Okay, we can do that. Thank you for your comment today.
I
appreciate it.
Why that hadn't been done when they told me it was already done. So.
No.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Yeah.
Chair, if you would like, we're still on agenda item number 4.
Sure.
Would you like for me to invite people that have called into the meeting to raise their hand to speak?
Yes.
If you would like to speak at this on this unscheduled appearances, please press pound 6. Is it pound 6 or star? Pound?
I don't know.
Star 9,
sorry.
Six on the
I can't keep them straight, I apologize. So press *9 if you'd like to raise your hand to speak at this juncture for unscheduled appearances. And nobody is raising their hand. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Number 5, is there anyone who'd like to state a conflict of interest?
Okay, no.
All righty. And number 6, presentation of documents. Is there anything you would like to present? All right. Number 7. Public hearing clerk. Okay, read up on the small print to find out what the public protocol is. And we're skipping down to any changes to the agenda.
None.
Alrighty. And there are no consent items, and there is no old business to discuss. New business. Election.
Go ahead.
Election of chair and vice chair. Mr. Peary did submit his resignation in writing. Everyone should have received his letter. And I'm supposed to announce that chair and vice chair need to be nominated for 2021. Done.
Is anybody interested in being the chair or vice chair for the 2021?
Step forward, don't be shy.
Might be you again by default.
That's okay, I'm okay with it.
I second that.
All right, so we have a chair nominated.
Thank you for your patience, everyone, I'll learn.
Does anybody want to nominate a vice chair?
Do they have to go present?
Okay.
I don't know that they do. It would be up to you to decide to nominate somebody who is not present. County Council may want to weigh in on this.
Yeah, it would seem like they should be in a place to accept and agree that dude or that duty.
I think they did that to Gary last time.
Yeah.
It was funny.
I know.
Michelle?
No, no, I'm good.
I'm not sure if an alternate can be...
Oh, Gary was? Or no, he was an alternate.
I'm not sure an alternate can be nominated. So we have one other commissioner present who's not an alternate.
Only leaves me, doesn't it?
I wonder if this item determined how many people showed up today.
Maybe.
Yes. I'll second that nomination.
All right.
So Nancy Ogren. Congratulations.
I respectfully decline.
Seriously? So you can...
Who's on the phone? Isn't there anybody up there?
No, we only have an alternate who's calling in. Wow. We can have nobody at this point if it's not something you're interested in.
Well, does that automatically put me in line for the chair for next year?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
No.
We play fast and loose with LAFCO.
Thank you, Rick.
Oh,
darn.
Ouch.
I'm never sick, and we meet once or twice a year. Seriously.
Now we're going to really pick up speed, though.
I was going to say she has.
Yeah.
we do have some items, not much, though, for this year.
I know. It's not really a lot.
Do you want to table the vice chair position
until
next time? See what happens next time. If I have to, I will step up because I'm that kind of gal.
Yes, but I understand you've had a lot thrown at you, since you've started as a supervisor, but less than 4 months ago.
I jump right in, but I will if I have to.
We won't nominate you for vice chair at your very first LAFCO
meeting. Yep, that
okay.
All right, I'd like a request for motion.
What do I need to do?
We would need to have a motion to nominate Commissioner Baird for the chair.
Okay. I nominate Commissioner Baird for the chair.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Opposed? None. Motion passes. And may I have a motion to table the vice chair position?
I'll make that motion to table that.
And a second?
Second. I will second.
Thank you.
All right. Roll call.
Oh. Let's see.
I did skip that before, sorry.
Oh, okay. Commissioner DeCosmaker.
Here.
Commissioner Ogren.
Present.
And you say
yes.
Aye.
It's not. Yeah.
Aye.
Commissioner Harkness.
Yes.
Chair
aye.
Baird.
Sure.
Chair
thank
Baird.
You go by that.
Okay, motion carries for myself as chair and to table vice chair. And the oath of office. Do we want to do?
I can still read it to Nancy and to Michelle.
Okay,
and
that'd be great.
I think I didn't do. Can I read it to Laurel too?
That's fine.
And she can. I'll send her the paper to sign.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Fine.
Okay, Laurel. I'm going to read the oath for you and Michelle and Nancy. Can she hear me?
Yeah, she can hear you.
Okay. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California, that you take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which you are about to enter?
I do.
I do.
Thank you. I'll have you sign your oath, and Nancy, and then Laurel, I'll have you, can you sign the one I emailed you and just send it back?
Yeah, is an electronic copy fine, or do you want a hard copy?
That's fine for me, yeah. I'll come and get it. I'll get it after the meeting. Thanks.
Okay, item number three, regarding Mr. Perry's resignation. Are there any questions or comments? Other than to tell him thank you for his time. And if it's okay with the commission, I'd like to direct staff to post the vacancy. Okay. And we want the next item. And that will be our budget. Staff presentation. Sorry.
Thanks
so much for the
Yeah. So budgets are something that we have to have two meetings on. We have a preliminary budget, which is what this meeting is for, and then we have to have a second meeting to approve next year's budget. So as I mentioned, this is the preliminary budget. We do have quite a surplus, so that's something that I will be, I think I have an agenda item to talk to you about what to do about the surplus, but I can talk to you guys about it now if you're interested.
Yes, please.
Okay, so one of the things that is on previous budgets for about the past 4 years is the Municipal Service Review and Sphere of Influence update for the 9 cities in Siskiyou County. This project is almost totally done. Today's meeting is on this subject. And the other item that we have contracts for is a contract with Bob Braitman. And Bob Braitman has been assisting me this past couple fiscal years now. And I honestly have not spent very much of that budget. I believe that we had about $7,000 left out of the original $10,000. I would like to talk to you guys about continuing to hire a consultant, but perhaps a different consultant. And maybe one who can do more of the staff reports to kind of get our load off of me. And also, I would like to talk about using some of the excess budget to hire a company to do MSRs and SOIs, Municipal Service Review and Sphere of Influence updates for all of the fire protection districts in the county. It seems like something we have been leaning towards this past couple of years, and right now we have the Butte Valley Fire Protection District, which does have an active project in with us that I just haven't had time to work on. I'm hoping to get to that within the next month or two, but it seems that the county in general and also the cities are interested in expanding those and perhaps consolidating some of those fire protection districts, which they cannot do unless they have an up-to-date municipal service review and sphere of influence. So that's something that I would like to have perhaps an RFP for, to hire a company to do that update, just to get all of the fire protection districts in the county up to date so we can take a look at what's needed as far as fire protection in the county.
When was the last time that was done?
2006. So
and
it's been a while.
The funds are in the budget?
Yes, and
The funds for that particular contract are not in the budget. We would have to, when we go to establish a contract, put those funds from the fund balance into an actual line item.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, sorry. I'm Sherry Lawson. I'm the Administrative Services Manager for Community Development.
So, you guys may have worked with Joy Hall, who just poked her head in just now. Joy has moved on to General Services, and Sherry has taken over her position. So she also does fiscal stuff for LAFCO as part of her job. So I don't know if you would like to add to whatever it was that you wanted to say. No? That's it. Yes.
Commissioners, do you have any questions or comments? I'm also supposed to open a public hearing.
This was noticed as a public hearing, I believe, so yes, let's go ahead and open that.
Okay, there are no public comments. I'll close public comments. Any commissioner questions, concerns, statements?
Just taking it all in.
Okay, it is the first hearing, so we don't need to make any kind of motion now because it's coming back.
No, so what staff is going to do is distribute the proposed budget to all of the cities within the county and request comments, and any comments that we receive will be provided to you at next month's LAFCO meeting, and it will be presented to you with the final budget.
Okay, I know it crossed my mind that we did not have any actuals to compare where we were, so perhaps maybe that could be in the next one.
Actuals, what, were you talking about a specific line item?
No, in general, because I thought, I've been on long enough to see the budget come in front of us before, and there's an adopted budget, an estimated, and a requested, but there's no actuals. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if we did have that or not, but it sounds like we did. We can take a look and see what we've done in previous years and copy that. I think this is usually what we end up giving you, though.
The numbers look really familiar to me, so I'm not surprised, and I'm not questioning it.
No.
I just thought maybe we have spent less this year because we haven't met, so.
So I believe that this is actually our first LAFCO meeting of the 2020-2021 fiscal year, mm-hmm. and while staff has been working on LAFCO projects, we just haven't presented anything to you in a staff meeting, which may be why numbers are a little bit lower, because there's less staff time because we haven't had the meetings.
Okay. You can come up with a question.
Well, I'm confused by this.
The $28,943 in the requested budget column under cost allocation plan?
Yes. And Supervisor Ogren might be more familiar with cost allocation. So forgive my limited knowledge, this is the number that is set by the auditor's office. We are charged for services that we as a department use or that LAFCO uses that is not a revenue-generating department, such as county council, auditor, treasurer. So they take our 1920 actual costs, and then they have a carry forward that is from two fiscal years ago. And if they undercharged us 2 years ago, they'll add that cost onto our cost allocation. They overcharge us, they'll credit us, and so those two numbers combined is our cost allocation, which last year we had about $14,000 in county council charges, and then our carry forward from 17-18 was approximately $13,000. We can give you the actual breakdowns if you guys would like that.
So you're coming in less than what you've had for the last couple of years.
That's right.
Yeah, but you're so basically you're being allocated that amount of money to use
for cost allocation? No, that is what the county is charging LAFCO for services that we have used for the county.
Okay.
So they're saying, we use county council, we use the auditor,
okay.
This is what you owe those departments.
Okay. And what has that looked like in the past?
I would have to look that up and get back to you. I did not reach out to the auditor to ask about prior years. I did notice the large jump. And so
but it's like...
reach out to our assistant auditor for clarification as to why such a large
number. Yeah, I just
looked.
looking at three columns and all of a sudden that was like, red flag, red flag.
Correct. And the cost allocation, it's been my experience in the past that it's always something that fluctuates. In prior years when I was with the county, some years we had a surplus of credit in the cost allocation, and other years it was $100,000 that we owed. It just depends on who sues you, or depending on what services we use, it's very hard to predict.
So think about it like this. Rachel is a county planner and a LAFCO executive officer.
Right.
So when she uses county time for LAFCO projects,
it just works wet bucket.
Yeah.
It's right. Exactly.
So essentially, it's being viewed as LAFCO using the county's resources and then the county trying to pay for that. But it's based on the past.
But yes, we did stop and go, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why we double checked with the auditor's office and asked what were those charges for. And county council, I believe, was the majority of it. Is that correct?
Yeah. $17 with the CAO, $665 with the auditor, $14,245 with the council, and $21 with the treasurer is what we were charged, plus our carry forward from two fiscal years ago.
So, do I dare ask why Bill charged all of his time to LAFCO? What was it? Do I dare?
I think that actually a couple years ago, Bill was not the LAFCO County Council, but we have had some issues that I'll discuss in staff comments recently. So we have had to utilize County Council services this year.
I don't reduce bills. I just have a very general timesheet that apparently the auditor looks at. An estimate for LAFCO. LAFCO seems to calculate whatever amount they want for our services. So.
That's not me.
No, it's I'm not sure.
I'm trying to point fingers. I'm just trying to get a handle on what that number's for.
I think that's something that the auditor comes up with.
I think also I'm getting the sense that I have been much more involved with LAFCO than our office has previously. Not that there's any particularly big issues or case come along, but I've just been, I think, more day-to-day involved. My understanding is before I sort of got volunteered for LAFCO last year, I mean, our office did not even attend LAFCO meetings. And the fact that Rachel's on staff as the executive director rather than an independent contractor or something being the executive director, she probably naturally contacts me, and we have had some complicated legal issues come up in the last year. But I think it's just a history of sort of non-involvement by our office until the last year. And now here I am technically. I mean, I'm really a staff attorney for the county. I'm not directly appointed by LAFCO. LAFCO is an independent body completely of the county. And you certainly have your right to your own counsel, and not offended at all. If you wanted to go find a law firm, but to the extent I'm kind of the default, then here I am, and to the extent that I've been more deeply involved in our office in the past, it's probably.
I'm actually surprised. If we've gone with minimal legal support up till now, I'm impressed. That's pretty good.
I mean, I recall talking with Janine, and Janine says, when I first started, she said, County Council, I believe, right, Janine didn't usually attend the prior meetings, or I don't know what their involvement was. Maybe I'm putting you on the hook when I should.
I've only been here 2 years, but I don't remember you being at the first meeting or two, and there weren't very many, as you said. So
yeah.
I think Rachel's basically, and I'm not trying to point fingers, but she's rightfully, we need to have Bill's advice on some things, and that's why.
Yeah.
And Bill's, you're our counsel for planning, so.
So by default, you're LAFCO.
Yeah,
so
you got.
I'm certainly no expert on LAFCO.
Yeah.
Nobody is.
Who is?
Yeah, nobody in this county, except for maybe Ed. So at this point, what's the pleasure?
Well, we're done with the discussion, and it's coming back for the second public review, correct?
Yes.
So we need a motion on staff's recommendation, I believe. Let me see what my recommendation is. So I do have a recommendation in the staff report.
On page 3.
Yeah. And all I have is ask for a motion on staff's recommendation. So
one. This is the staff report. It has the motion, the recommended motion.
Through the chair, I might ask, do you have an estimate on what this RFP is coming at?
No, I don't have an estimate. So the MSR for the 9 cities, we budgeted about $68,000. So I would expect that for the fire protection district, it would be around that range. I need to figure out how many fire protection districts we have, but it would probably be around that much, if not a little bit higher.
Oh, I would have guessed less, so, okay.
And is there any idea how long that would take?
So, no. I would want to get it done as soon as possible, but it would depend on if we found somebody or a company that could do it in the time frame that we would want to do it in, at the price that we're willing to pay.
Through the chair. So this kind of adding on to this is something for consideration in that the executive officer is also a county planner, and her county work can impact time dedicated to LAFCO services. We've been hearing from quite a few fire protection districts of the importance of trying to get these done to expand their services or their district boundaries to include areas they're already servicing. So I would second the LAFCO executive officer in that this probably should be done as quickly as possible. From a county perspective, it may be easier accomplished through a third party or consultant.
And we do have the surplus budget to pay for that, should the commissioners agree.
I'm good with that. It just seems like the discussion has gone from the budget to hiring.
Yeah.
So it's a little...
So we do have a specific agenda item on this under staff comments. So we can table this until we get to that item.
That would be great. So the only thing you need a decision on right now is just to...
The budget.
The budget.
The preliminary budget.
Right, and it's not really a decision because it's coming back, so
it is.
Discussion is closed.
Correct.
Moving on.
So, but we do need a motion to approve the preliminary budget, and at which point I can send copies to the cities for them to review.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
I will make that motion. Approve the preliminary budget as it stands.
There's a suggested motion in the packet if you wanted to just read that.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I still didn't say that.
I think I saw it on the
page 3 of the budget.
That's what you say. There's page 3.
It's on the budget staff report.
Are you looking at so the page that I gave you?
Consider the preliminary motion. Make motion and a second to determine that the recommended actions are not subject to environmental, that one?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
There you go, number 2.
Does a question, sorry, should additional, say, consultant services, wouldn't that, should LAFCO kind of go in that direction, wouldn't that need to be updated on the preliminary budget?
We can include that in the recommended budget for 21-22, but not knowing, Rachel and I discussed that, but not knowing what the actual cost was going to be, we thought it would be best not to add it at this point.
Until it was approved by the board as well.
Correct. Until we have a specific figure that we know for use.
Do you It'll make him so much happier.
I will make a motion to determine that the recommended actions are not subject to environmental review under CEQA, pursuant to CEQA guidelines section 15378B4, and are therefore exempt from CEQA, and approve the proposed fiscal year 2021-22 preliminary budget.
And I'll have a second.
I will second that.
I have a first and a second by Michelle. All in favor, roll call, please.
Commissioner Ogren.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCosmaker.
Aye.
Commissioner Harkness.
Aye.
Chair Baird.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, item number five, the city MSR update, and I would like a staff presentation, please.
So this is a project that has been going on for a very long time. We are required to update the city municipal service review and sphere of influences every 5 years. Quadnoff, which has now been renamed to QK, was the consultant that was hired to do the services back in 2016. Unfortunately, we had quite a bit of turnover in the planning department around that same time, and the project stalled out due to our department's staffing. Christy Cummings Dawson, who was the previous executive officer prior to me, worked with Quadnoff or QK on it, but she left shortly after she started. And I have been working with QK for about the past year and a half now to get this project done. We actually had anticipated getting this presented to you about a year ago, and then the pandemic hit, and so the cities were busy dealing with pandemic stuff, and we held off on getting any of their edits to the administrative drafts. We extended the deadline to August of last year, not knowing that the pandemic would continue that long. And ultimately, we ended up finalizing it just recently, and that is what is being presented to you. It's the final draft that was emailed to you guys on Friday. I understand it's a lot of reading. Sorry,
only 518 pages.
Yes. However, we do have representatives from QK on the line, and they have prepared a PowerPoint presentation for you guys. Did we have any questions before we go ahead forward with that? No. Okay. So I am going to ask. Steve is the consultant at QK that I have been working with. I do want to add that it wasn't just planning that had some staffing issues. The cities have also had staffing issues, and then due to the timeline of the how long ago it was that we had hired QK, some of the staff that were assigned to work on this project have also moved on to greener pastures. So it was kind of like a trifecta of staffing issues and then the pandemic on top of it. So I apologize that it's taken so long to get this to you. I'm really happy to get to this point. I am going to, let's see, I'm not terribly familiar with this program, but I am going to see if I can't get to the document, the PowerPoint that I saved. And Steve, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can, thank you so much. I am going to open up this PowerPoint, and I'll share my PowerPoint screen so that everybody can see. And let's see, let's go to slideshow from beginning. My computer is very slowly thinking. And let's, sorry, this operating system is not one I'm familiar with, so it's taking me a little bit longer. And let's go to share screen and share this one. And let's see if I can't from the beginning. To zoom in. Oh, wow. Sorry.
Rachel, doesn't LTC meeting in here at 3?
3:30, I believe. And they were doing it Zoom. Okay. So does that look full screen to you, Steve?
Yes.
Okay.
That's great.
Thank you.
All right. So you can hear me, right?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. So good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Steve Brandt. I'm a principal planner here at QK. I'm coming to you today from Visalia, if you know where that is. It's right close to the center of the state. I've got with me also on the line Jessica Bispels. She's also a planner for us, and she's going to be listening in and taking notes, make sure we get all of your comments and questions jotted down. So as Rachel said, this has been a project that has taken longer than a lot of us wanted it to take, and a lot of multiple things happening to make that happen, but we're happy to be here today and to bring these before you for your 9 cities in Siskiyou County. So we're going to talk about 3 things. Well, first, I'm going to give you just a summary of the municipal service reviews, and I agree that it is a lot to read. At the end of each municipal service review, or MSR, there's a summary, there's a sphere of influence review for each city, and that's also laid out in Cortese, Knox, Hertzberg on how to do that, and then we'll have time for questions and comments. So I believe this is in your staff report as well, but there's 6 required topics in an MSR. First, growth and population projections, disadvantaged unincorporated communities, or what one previous executive officer coined the phrase DUCCS, present and planned capacity of public facilities and adequacy of public services, including infrastructure needs and deficiencies. This is probably the largest section of the 6 because it's basic. It's really diving into the types of services that each city is providing to its constituents. And then there's the financial ability to provide those services, status of and opportunities for sharing of facilities for efficiencies, and then the accountability for community service needs, including government structure and operational efficiencies. And that's basically asking, you know, how efficient is the local government in conducting its business? So just looking at the first one, growth and population projections, what we did is we looked at each city's general plan, and you can see there the years that each general plan was last updated. And also we looked to see, you know, is your housing element up to date, and recognizing that your cities are small cities, it's very commendable that everybody's housing element is in compliance. I know that that's a difficult project to get through. So that was our basis for looking at expected growth, is what were each city saying in their general plan. Then we looked at disadvantaged unincorporated communities. There's there's a definition on how you determine which communities, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the entire community. It can be a portion of a community. In fact, the law says even as many as 12 registered voters can be a disadvantaged unincorporated community. The emphasis there is it's unincorporated. So these are areas outside of the city that are disadvantaged and maybe need to be considered to be brought into the city in order to provide that area services that they might not otherwise have. So one of the reasons we look at this at this point is to determine are there any disadvantaged unincorporated communities outside of any city's sphere of influence that we might want to bring into the sphere, because then there's the opportunity that they can be annexed in the future and be served. So we looked at that. Pretty much every city has disadvantaged unincorporated communities, except Doris. And the reason for that is because there's no unincorporated area inside Doris's sphere of influence. So every city already has some, but we didn't notice anything that was happening outside of the spheres of influence that would indicate that we would need to add them into the sphere. So that's really what we looked at when we looked at the duck communities. So like I said, this is the largest section, and this slide kind of summarizes some of the recommendations that we made in looking at the different services and facilities. Each city has a slightly different mix of services that they provide, and a number of cities contract out for those services, which is totally fine. So what I wanted to do with this slide was kind of look at some of the things that we could glean from looking at the services and evaluating them, and you know, what are some things that cities could do as suggestions to maybe up their game a little bit and then be able to take advantage of some opportunities. So I think the biggest one that hits a number of cities is to look at adopting a CIP. And the reason for that is, and it doesn't have to be for everything in the city. The reason for that is, you know, if you have a CIP for, you know, a list of water projects or sewer projects to upgrade your city, and you've got those in a CIP, it's a lot easier if a grant opportunity comes along to apply for that grant, and you can tell them, you know, this has been in our CIP, but we don't have a way to fund it, things like that. So having a capital improvements plan opens up some opportunities. I totally get why some cities don't have it because of the size of the cities. But if a city wants to do one more thing to help itself, I think this might be one of the first places to go. You can see there a list of other things that cities might do to improve the way that they provide services to the community. We didn't find any cases where a city was just really struggling to provide the services that they were offering. The cities are doing a good job. And that should be the key takeaway from these MSRs. So in looking at financial ability to provide services, we looked at the budgets, both the budgets that they provided us, and also information that goes to the state, and using that data. So we didn't find any evidence to suggest that the cities are not financially able to provide the services they're providing. That's great, especially for, again, the size of the cities. We think that there are possible grant funds out there that cities can investigate to supplement the revenue that they are bringing in. And again, that's just a suggestion. And then fees for service, like development impact fees and other fees for service, they should be reviewed and updated when needed to stay in line with the actual cost. I know it's easy to get behind on that and then it's difficult to make a big jump in a fee increase. So those are some ways just to stay on top of things. I know it's the finances for small cities are difficult. So status of an opportunities for shared facilities. This is just, things that cities do to, take advantage of sharing of facilities. So one example of that is mutual aid agreements. Almost all the cities have mutual aid agreements for fire and police protection, either with the county or with other public service agencies. That's a great thing, and those should continue. Several of the cities, instead of providing the service themselves, contract with outside public and private agencies for services. It's totally acceptable, and as long as they're getting what they're paying for, that's a great way to provide service when you're not able to do it with your own staff. And then the cities like Dunsmuir, Mount Shasta, and Weed, they have a recreation and parks district that's a separate entity from the cities, and they do a good job coordinating park services in those communities. So then within the city, we noted that, pretty much all of the city departments, they're generally located in close proximity to each other, and that allows for practical sharing of resources and, sharing staff. If needed, staff can be working in two different departments, things like that. So this is, again, the cities are doing a good job. Related to service needs, this is pretty much, how is the city running its local government? So all the cities use a city council, city manager form of government. We didn't find any evidence that there's any problems following the Brown Act or conducting council meetings openly. So the public does have opportunity to be involved in their local government. The agendas and other information is made available to the public. The city departments are organized in a way that meets the public's service needs. And we didn't really find any evidence of cities ignoring the community services needs. So again, the cities are doing a good job at running their cities. So the last part of the MSR document has the sphere of influence review. And this, the review involves looking at five areas. So you look at the land uses that are within the current sphere. You look at the need for public facilities and services within that area. We looked at the capacity of the facilities and the adequacy of the public services, and then looked to see if there were any social or economic communities of interest. That can be like a small neighborhood that acts like it's part of the city, but it's really outside the city limits. Or outside the sphere, things like that. And then again, we looked at the disadvantaged unincorporated communities. So pretty much in each MSR, in each city, the existing spheres are located to accommodate the city's adopted growth goals. So the spheres are pretty much in line with the city's general plans. They are, where there are social and economic areas of interest, they're already within the spheres of influence. In the areas with the existing spheres of influence, they appear to be in logical areas for the cities to provide services. The cities appear to be able to provide services in the areas within the sphere and what they'll need. And where the cities do have the ducts, again, they're already within the existing spheres. So our conclusion with each city was that the spheres of influence are in good locations. They can be serving the city for a number of more years. And we didn't see any reason at this time to recommend that LAFCO initiate any changes to the spheres of influence. So just going through them to show you where the boundaries and the spheres are at. The red line is the city limits. The blue dash line is the spheres of influence. So we have Doris on the left and Tule Lake on the right. As I said before, Doris is the only city where the sphere and the city limits are coterminous. So it's meaning it's unless the sphere were to be expanded, there would not be any more annexations. This shows Etna and Fort Jones. And again, we can see that there are areas in both spheres that can accommodate additional growth. Some of the areas are already developed, and so we'd want to make sure that if a city's annexing to accommodate new development, that they should also consider bringing in some of the existing development in order to maintain logical boundaries and to provide, you know, service to those areas that may not have the full range of urban services. Wairika and Montague, you can see Wairika, especially to the south, has a number of neighborhoods not in the city yet, but they are within the sphere. So if there was a need for additional services in those areas, the city could decide if it wanted to annex and provide those services. And then Montague again has some areas for growth. And then finally, Weed, Mount Shasta, and Dunsmuir. And, you know, similar case where there's areas in the city and outside, there's development outside the city. And again, annexation should be based on, you know, does the area need those city services, and does it want them, and does it want to be in the city? But again, you can see there's not that many areas that are outside of the spheres that would need to be brought in. That's all I have. That's a real high level summary of what's in the municipal service reviews. If you have questions, be happy to take them on, and we can have a conversation about that.
It's a lot to absorb. I don't have any questions. Anyone else on the commission? Seth?
I do have one question. I read our 153-page report, and we've done a lot of things and improvements since that was done. Can we change those?
So, due to the time that this has dragged on,
right,
because of all the delays I mentioned before, I have already actually sent this out to the cities once before for reviews, and those changes that were submitted to me were included in here. So at this point, I'm going to recommend that we not do another round of review by the city and update unless the commissioners choose to do that. At this point, we're at pretty much the limit to the original budget. So if we do something like that, it would go over budget, which, as you mentioned, or as I discussed, we do have the funds. If that's something that we would want to do, we might need to consider if we need to have an addendum to the contract with QK if we wanted to do that. I'm not sure what the I would need to talk to County Council about what we would need and see if QK would even be willing to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it doesn't change the outcome of his report, mm-hmm, because he did state that everybody seems to be in a good position, mm-hmm, for the outcome. So I, at this point, saw some, mm-hmm, things that have been improved for the city of Wairika, mm-hmm, also, but I don't see the value in changing at this,
mm-hmm,
point.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be done every
five years, so we're
years,
way overdue.
So
get ready
we
for
need
next
to,
time.
Yeah.
We need to get this, in my opinion, we need
done.
To get this finalized, closed, so that we can start the clock again, and they'll catch it the next time.
Yeah, and I'd be curious to ask who they talked to in the town of Fort Jones. Our administrator said that he was never contacted.
Well, I do know that there are some changes that got made to Fort Jones because they had talked to me about what they would need to do for annexations, and I passed the information that they provided to me on to QK, and that was included. So any changes that they gave me...
Annexation,
Yeah, any changes that they gave me, they were included, but, you know, I don't remember off the top of my head. It was probably Carl... as a city administrator.
Because I think he did reach out to you about annexation.
Right.
The things I'm talking about wasn't annexation.
Okay.
It was just like, what?
Yeah.
That's fine.
I have a question to the chair. Just a general conversation regarding the potential development within the cities. Is there any evaluation for 4290 regulations or severe fire hazard zones that would restrict development?
Are you asking if...
Is that considered at all?
So it sounds like you're asking, is there anything that's part of a required MSR and SOI that's related to fire hazards? Is that what you're asking?
Just a general question in terms of the development potential of that particular city.
That's not something that's considered as part of MSRs and SOI updates. At this time, it could be that it's something that gets added to the law and the code, the Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg Act. But right now, it does not have anything that I'm aware of.
Does that answer your question?
Perfectly.
Good.
Questions and comments from you guys at this point, so.
Okay, we don't need to move to approve or accept or anything?
No, you guys, there is, if I can go to the staff report.
I'm still a little curious about the streetlights.
Well, we do have somebody from the town of Fort Jones here, so.
Well, just the way that it's worded in the.
So the question that Commissioner Ogren had mentioned was that in the town, the city of Fort Jones, town of Fort Jones, that the provided service was streetlights, and as far as we're aware, that's a service that's not provided specifically by the city. It's provided by PAC Power. So there's a question as to whether or not there was an agreement between the city and PAC Power to provide that service, or.
It's just listed. It's just how it's listed on there. It says provided.
We pay for that service.
So,
as far as I know,
So it's just you're paying for the service, just as everybody pays for the service. So that was just. I was just curious how it was listed. It's listed as provided.
So I don't know if perhaps Steve can respond to that. Did you hear her question, Steve?
Part of it, it's related to street lighting in Fort Jones.
Well, or any of the cities, in that each of the cities have street lighting. But I'm thinking more of it as who's responsible, I guess, for the street lighting. As if a customer would call up the city and say, there's a street light out. And who's responsible for those street lights? So there are some cities who own their street lights and have to maintain them, and there are other cities who do not. So when it's listed, say, as in Fort Jones' list, it says, provided, but they don't own and maintain, Fort Jones does, the city of Fort Jones does not own and maintain their street lighting.
Okay.
Well, the city of Dunsmuir does. So that was kind of my question. When they're listed out in the MSR, is there any differentiation between that?
When we when we were able to find the differentiation, we tried to list it as either like a footnote or something like that. So I'm trying to pull up some things to see. But generally, yeah, if you're talking about the tables, like at the beginning of each one about the services provided, if it says provides, that means that the service, it does exist in that community. It doesn't always mean that it's the city that provides the service.
Okay.
It means that the service does exist.
Okay, so it doesn't really matter who maintains it or owns it. It just means that there are streetlights there.
In that initial table, correct, yeah.
And then when you drill down inside of each city's responsibilities, the whole list of what they provide, does it matter there in that table? So I guess I'm not sure.
Well, if the city's, if the city is responsible for it, then they should have a, you know, a budget for maintenance and things like that.
Right.
If it's another entity like a utility district that's providing it, then the city's responsibility is mainly just coordination and informing the public on how to, you know, how to get the certain, you know, if there's a street light that goes out for the, you know, who's the right entity to call.
Okay. I was just thinking that should be clarified a little bit better, but maybe that will be for next time so we don't have to step back.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
So there is a recommended motion if you guys are happy with this MSR and SOI that was presented to you. The recommended motion is on page 13 of the staff report.
Page 13? I don't have 13.
The staff report for...
Page 13?
Page 13 of the staff report for this particular item.
Oh, I am. See, I shouldn't be bothered.
Would you like my copy?
I was going to say, I have an extra one here, too.
Oh, can't we just move as presented?
Sure.
Okay. Commissioner Bernhard, I would like to move to accept the motion of the presented MSR as presented.
To make the motion as presented?
Yes.
Okay.
Including adopting the resolution.
It is adopting the resolution. So on page 12, if you adopt the resolution, it takes a number of different items, and then the suggested motion itself is to adopt resolution 2021-02. I can read it if you would like.
Oh, I'd love that.
Okay. So the suggested motion is, I move that we adopt resolution 2021-02, a resolution of the Local Agency Formation Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, making findings and determinations related to information contained in the Municipal Service Review and Sphere of Influence Update for the 9 municipalities in Siskiyou County, determining exemption from the California Environmental Quality Act, and adopting the determinations of the Municipal Service Review and Sphere of Influence for the 9 municipalities in Siskiyou County.
And that is my motion, ma'am.
Thank you.
I will second that.
Roll call.
Commissioner DeCosmaker.
Here.
Commissioner Ogren.
Aye.
Commissioner Harkness.
Aye.
Chair Baird.
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Steve and Jessica. I really appreciate your help on this, and I'll be contacting you after the meeting.
Great. Thank you, Jessica, and good talking to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, item 5, if there's any more discussion on any items.
I think that we have moved on from item 5 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That remember that has the incorrect numbers because we crossed off a couple items. Or are you talking about the items for discussion and direction?
No, so. We're moving on too late.
Sorry. New business item 5 is done. You're talking about items for discussion and direction. Yes, I do have some to discuss with the commissioners. Thank you.
Take it away.
So, item A under section 5 is out-of-area service agreements. So one of the things that I have had to involve county council in quite a bit these past few months is related to out-of-area service agreements. And back around 2015 and 2016, one of the previous executive officers had arranged for out-of-area service agreements that met certain requirements be approved at the staff level, which means that myself as executive officer can approve particular out-of-area service agreements as long as they the parcels that they are for cannot be split after the service, usually water and sewer or just water, are provided to the parcel, and then some other determinations have to be made. So as long as it meets the specific criteria, then it's something that I can approve as a staff administrative approval. So in any case, we have had several instances where cities are wanting to provide services to parcels outside of their city limits, but within the sphere of influence, and they are bypassing LAFCO completely. And we had one particular case in Dunsmuir where there was a disagreement between the city and between LAFCO staff as to whether or not that out-of-area service agreement was required or not. And they have decided to not proceed with getting an out-of-area service agreement and still provide the services because of that disagreement. So one of the things that I ran across as reviewing all of the history of these particular parcels, and it's very complicated. There are lots of issues related to that I'm not gonna get into. But one of the things that I ran across was a request from the city of Dunsmuir to provide, to get LAFCO to allow that city to legally bypass the out-of-area service agreement. And it is something that the city of Mount Shasta has in place as part of their agreement with LAFCO, is that they can provide services outside of their city limits, but within the sphere of influence, and they do not have to go through LAFCO. I haven't looked at the details on it, but I do know that Mount Shasta is not interested in providing services outside of their city limits unless they annex. And so they have actually done quite a few annexations to their city in the past, and they actually are planning on doing some more in the near future, but not in this next fiscal year, as an aside. The other city that recently did it, or that was going to provide services without doing LAFCO, was Aetna. And in their situation, it was, again, turnover within the city, and frankly not even knowing that that was something that they weren't supposed to do without doing an out-of-area service agreement. So the gentleman who was wanting to develop property within the sphere of influence, when I, as a planner, was reviewing his building permit, I noticed that he had checked that he was going to be getting public water. And so, knowing as executive officer that he did not have an out-of-area service agreement, I contacted him and the city about it. And unfortunately, his particular parcel, it is large enough that it can be split if he gets water. Mm-hmm. So he would have to present his project, should he apply for an out-of-area service agreement with the city, because he has to apply to the city for that. The city has to make a resolution, and then the city has to formally apply. But in any case, it's not something that would be administratively approved. It's something that would have to go to the LAFCO Commission, and the costs are upwards more than $1,000 for him to do that. So we're in a situation now, and this is kind of a heads up that we do have this going on where we have out of area service agreements that are not being done that should be done. And in the case of the gentleman who is in the Aetna area, he is not interested in putting in a well because there's water right out on the street out in front of his house. So, but he, by law, has to go through the out of area service agreement and pass through the cost to the city, and then the city would apply to LAFCO for this out of area service agreement. So that's kind of one of the things that has spent lots of time with both me and council on. Specifically, the Dunsmuir one was a time consumer, but we're in a situation now where the guy who's outside of Aetna has a meter outside of his property, and he wants service, and now me as executive officer LAFCO, I'm telling him, no, you have to go through this process. So this is kind of a heads up that this is going on. Rico Tensman is a previous executive officer for LAFCO, who is actually a contract planner for I think 5 of the 9 cities, and I'm working with him on educating the cities on this. But in the case of the guy from Aetna, he is wanting to not have to pay the fees, and there's no avenue that I'm aware of that he can bypass the fees. So it's kind of the situation we're in with out of area service agreements, where Dunsmuir is disagreeing with what we have discussed with them regarding the need for it, and then lack of education in other cities. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're at right now. Did you guys have any questions about that?
Actually, I'm kind of curious. I understand how it keeps everything clean and tidy to go for the property owner not to come directly to LAFCO, go through the city. The city has more control over the situation. What is the advantage to the city to encourage that? Could they have declined and they would have had to put a well in?
Yes, they can decline to serve properties.
Okay.
But the situation that we're in is that they are saying yes when LAFCO has not given approval, and it is something that is regulated by LAFCO. And I think LAFCO is just not very well known as to what the responsibilities of LAFCO are and how the cities need to interact with LAFCO for certain things, like out of area service agreements. And so that's the situation we're in, where
so you just need to educate the cities a bit.
It's a lot of it's education. I need to really still go back to the Dunsmuir issue, and probably at some point it'll come back to you guys for discussion again. But at this point, it's we're not. I'm just giving you a heads up on what's happening.
One more question.
Sure.
And because it's taking staff time, is there any way to recoup expenses and fines for this after a certain amount, whatever is reasonable, to clear the communication up? If they're persistent on doing it their way without going through LAFCO?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any direct fine structure in the Cortese Act. A lawsuit otherwise is certainly a possibility, and extend staff time might be recoverable in that lawsuit. It's not very clear, it is an issue that is out there. And, I talked with opposing counsel for the city of Dunsmuir, and I said to him, Rachel said to their planner, show us any authorities you have for doing it the way you're doing it, any legal authority. And they weren't able to demonstrate any. In one respect, I think we're on good legal ground still to demand they comply with LAFCO procedures. It is a matter of staff time and effort. to go forward and try to correct this situation. It's unfortunate that there's at least one city out there that's simply deciding to extend service and ignore apparently legal obligations.
So something that you can direct us to do is to either continue to investigate this and see what legal avenues LAFCO would have regarding this situation, or at this point we can just continue educating the cities. So if you guys would like to give us direction on that, we would be happy to take it.
I'm not sure I know all the options that we have, but I personally think that if the law applies to one city, it should apply to all cities.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. And how you pursue that,
mm-hmm.
I'll leave at your discretion.
No.
Okay. So you don't necessarily want us to investigate this more and come back with some options, perhaps in closed session, to talk about?
We do.
You do? Okay.
Sorry if I'm speaking for you.
No, you're right.
Okay.
Please. Sharon? Sharon will be here.
I was just giving County Councilor that the county, this side of the table, will not be participating.
Yeah.
Probably not be able to participate in closed, since we are not LAFCO.
Yes. So, Commissioner Harkness, just so you know, we also have the Community Development Director, Rick Dean, and the Planning Director, Kirk Skierski, who are here. And thank you. Got a thumbs up. Awesome. So, making sure you knew who it was who was speaking. So, at this point, what we'll do with the out-of-area service agreements is see if we can't do a little bit more research and see what our avenues are, and we'll probably bring this back in closed session.
And is there a state entity that can help you with this?
If there is, I'm not aware, but I try to keep my eyes and ears.
We have Cal LAFCO, which is the umbrella over the county's particular LAFCOs. I can reach out to Cal LAFCO and see if I can get any recommendations.
Guidance.
Yeah. The executive officers for all of the counties also has an email group that I can reach out to for recommendations. It's very common that if an executive officer has a situation that they need assistance with, that they do reach out. So that's something I can do as well.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, and then going back to RFPs, this is agenda item B under this section. So it's RFPs for municipal service reviews for fire protection districts, and direction on whether or not you guys would like to move forward with getting an RFP and for specifically for MSRs and SOI updates for fire protection districts within the county. That's what I would like to get a direction from council or commissioners on.
Would you like to voice your opinion first?
I think it's a good idea.
If it's in the funds,
yeah.
I think so too.
Mm-hmm. Especially with our fire season.
I concur.
Go forth and make it happen.
Awesome. Thank you.
Anything else?
Not under that.
I had a point of order. Hey, maybe I missed it. All the way back on the budget item and the staff report. I'll just say what I'm thinking. We may reopen it if necessary. We made the motion to determine the recommended actions are not subject to CEQA. I don't know, perhaps it was implied that we were doing the rest of the steps as well when we did the budget item, that it's approved, that staff was directed to transmit the preliminary budget to the Board of Supervisors, and that a return to the Commission on May 11th for adoption of the final budget was directed as well. Maybe that was in there, and I'm just trying to make sure, just cross the i's and dot the t's.
So I am not terribly good at budgets and very familiar with them. This is the only budget that I have to deal with as part of my job, and this is only the second time we've had to do it. So I believe that what Sherry was saying was that we would come back to commissioners with the proposal.
Revised budget.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know that we can, I mean, we will be coming back with a final budget mm-hmm. next month. If the question is whether or not
the
dollars.
My question was simple. I'm not sure the motion included all those actions or not. Maybe it did.
So I do recall that the motion did include adopting the preliminary budget.
Okay.
It was.
Yes.
It was not the final. That's next month.
Well, I understood that. I just thought the motion was just very simple. Sorry.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So for items for discussion and direction, I think we're good. We're moving forward with the out-of-area service agreement, and we're also moving forward with RFPs for the MSRs for fire protection districts. Okay.
Yes. Yes. All righty, and the next scheduled meeting is Tuesday, May 11th. Is there any correspondence?
None. I do have a staff comment, though, if nobody else has any correspondence.
Was the future meeting noticed already?
I'm sorry?
Was the May 11th meeting noticed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, it'll be in the paper on Wednesday, let's put it that way.
Are you talking about the final budget? Yes, we did already post that.
I just want to make sure you notice.
Yes. So for staff comments, this is related to the South Wairika Fire Protection District. You weren't here for this, and neither was Commissioner Ogren, but we were able to update South Wairika's MSR and SOI last year, and they have applied for an annexation to their territory. We are in process on that. The step that it's at right now is the assessor has provided the auditor with some information as to some. She has to provide more information. The auditor has to provide information regarding taxes on those particular parcels. And I spoke with her this morning, and she said that she thought that there were some errors on the boundaries that were submitted. And I have asked her to give me parcel numbers where she thinks the errors have occurred, because the information that we have regarding the boundaries is the recorded information, and it's also the same information that the Board of Equalization has. So that's what we're working on right now, is working on, I'm waiting on that email. I hadn't gotten it before I came here today, but she is supposed to be providing me with the parcel numbers where she thinks that there is an error. There are two items that she mentioned. One was that she thinks that the boundary overlaps with the Scott Valley Fire Protection District, which I could not see where that boundary overlapped. And then she also stated that we are wanting to annex territory that is already part of the Fire Protection District, and that was also something that she was supposed to provide me with parcel numbers for, because I did not see how that was an error. But I also did not see the information that the assessor gave her, so I don't know if it was an error in that. So I'm waiting, but we are moving forward with that. Hopefully in the next few months it will come back to you for review of the annexation. They are proposing to annex all of their current sphere of influence, which was updated at last year's meeting, and with the goal of eliminating any gaps between the existing fire protection districts.
Right, and if I understand correctly, they were already providing service to those areas anyway.
Correct. And by annexing their current sphere of influence, they are planning on adding a station further south of their current location, their current station. So that's the ultimate goal for them, but we're in the process, so hopefully you guys will be seeing that soon, and hopefully I'll be able to get the Butte Valley Fire Protection District, MSR, and SOI to you guys in the next few months as well. So I do expect that later on this summer we'll have something to give you regarding both of those items.
Well, it sounds like we've been seeing each other for a while.
You're going to have a meeting next month, and probably, I'd say, at least in August, if not earlier than that. So that's what's going on right now with LAFCO.
Okay.
That's the end of my comments.
Commissioners, do you have any statements?
Commissioner Harkness, do you have any comments at this point?
No, thanks for all the information.
Gentlemen? Okay, that being said, I think we're done with everything, and meeting is adjourned, is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.